Hey, what's up, fam? This is Truth Serum, a podcast of Crossover Bible Fellowship. In today's episode, we will be discussing the cultural nuances of the Western world and how those nuances lead people to their own cultural autonomy. In Westernized society, it seems the ability to follow the scriptures has been superseded by the cultural's ability to follow what one believes is true. And whatever that truth is, the truth has to be just as true as the Bible. Join us as we discuss the cultural norms of today so that we can help bring the only truth to the next generation. Yo, 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 what's up, fam? This is your boy, Joaquin. Hey, I'm joined with my co-hosts, Brittany, Aaron, and Nathan. What's up, fam? How y'all doing?
Hey.
Hey, what's up, Joaquin, man? We're doing pretty good, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. So glad to get with you guys again for another episode, man. Hey.
Yep. I missed y'all. I feel like I haven't seen y'all in a while.
Well, it's Houston, so it is hard to
see you sometimes. Age time.
Hey, Brittany's funny. She's like, I feel like I haven't seen you in a while. And I'm like, every week?
Maybe because we haven't recorded in a couple weeks.
Oh, man. Brittany, what have you been up to?
Honestly, a lot of work. I'm super excited because I'll be helping out with Region. They're going to have a program about sex, and so I'll get to talk to the middle school girls, and I'm super excited about that.
Man, what's Regen?
Regen is the youth ministry of Crossover Bible Fellowship, specifically the teenagers in high school.
Got you. Y'all see how I had that plug for Regen, right?
Hey.
Cool. Aaron, what's up with you, man? What's going on?
Man, nothing much, man. Work has been a lot going. It's been a lot going on at work. Trying to persevere through it. And just like Brittany, I'll be helping out with the Region Youth and being able to talk to some young boys about sex. And I think it will be very impactful and instrumental to their lives. So,
cool, man. Cool. Nathan, I mean, I think you're like somewhere right now, right? Like you're like, you know,
somewhere.
Hollywood or something.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Right now I'm in LA, you know, I mean, I'm staying in LA right now. I'm going to take some time to meet up with Kanye and Drake and Calabasas later on.
Oh, for real?
Okay.
Yeah, they flew me in here to talk about some things. Yeah, they flew me in here to, you know, talk about some things. So I just want to make sure things. No, honestly, yeah, I'm in LA right now. I am here on a business trip. But besides that, you all mentioned Region. I also will be helping out with that. Region Retreat. Yeah. So Region Retreat called Let's Talk About Sex. We're talking to middle schoolers and high schoolers about sex. But if you want to hear about that topic, you can listen to our previous episode, The Love Below, listeners.
Hey.
And we're talking about, you know, grown folk stuff on that one. But yeah, that's a little bit what's going on with me. I'm in LA right now and getting ready for that upcoming youth retreat.
Hey, Nate, are you going to go to Roscoe's?
Maybe. I've been there before. So I'm going to just say this. LA has some nice food spots, but Houston, I mean, I'm from Houston. Like, Houston has a lot of good food.
Wow.
I didn't say that.
Yes, it does.
You hear Brittany, the best. Oh my God. Oh my God. Hey, man, I heard LA has some really good spots, man, but they said that Roscoe's was actually better than what's the famous chicken spot we have here? Oh,
the Breakfast Frenchies? Club?
No, Frenchies. Oh. They said it was better than Frenchies.
Wow.
Maybe like overall, but I mean, it's just one of those things. How do you, man, this chicken is a 9, but this chicken is a 9.9. Like, whatever.
Can I be honest? I'm not even a fan of Frenchie's chicken.
Oh, so you ain't H-Town, bro. You ain't H-Town.
Y'all, this is Aaron's last podcast. This is Aaron's last podcast.
Sorry, Aaron. But to be honest, I don't even really eat fried chicken, like, ever. So,
Hey. Aaron's going to be reprimanded, sir.
Go to Popeye's.
Hey, you know what? I'm not even going to get into that.
That Popeye's chicken lady. Ooh, my Popeye's chicken. Ooh, come eat my Popeye's chicken. Ooh. Like, I don't know about that lady.
Oh, man. That is hilarious. Man, well, hey, guys, I know we've been having a chat. It's so good to be catching up with you guys, but let's go ahead and dig in. So about a year ago, Grammy Award winner Michael Rinder, a.k.a. Killer Mike, came out with a 6-part episode series on Netflix called Trigger Warning with Killer Mike. He talks a ton, talks about a lot of things, like, you know, from things such as supporting Black businesses, education, gang culture, and faith. About a year ago, he did an interview with CBS explaining his show and, you know, said that basically white Jesus pictures hinder Blacks from recognizing divinity inside themselves. He also says that when you wake up for breakfast, you are breaking a holy fast and that God is a woman. So on another note, I remember getting into a conversation with a colleague at work and the issue of abortion came up. And this colleague was religiously in agreement that a woman's body is her own and that woman has the right to do whatever she wants to do with her body. And as you all know, recently, Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union are okay with allowing their 12-year-old son, Zaire, or now Zaya, they're okay with being a being their daughter versus their son. Even last night, I was in Starbucks. I saw a sign that basically said, all you need is love. And I've heard people say that a lot, you know, especially, you know, when it comes to, you know, same sex relationships. So, you know, so basically, you know, we live, you know, right now it's okay to be in a homosexual lesbian relationship as long as I love that individual, right? So marriage is not necessarily only for Christian believers, but marriage is for an adult person that decides to love each other. So we live in a culture where, you know, people are free, right, to do whatever they want or whatever they desire, as long as they stay in within the confines of law, order, and government. So, I mean, is that such a problem, though, y'all? I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, hey, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I'm doing exactly what I should be doing. I am following, you know, what the law says I should do. I'm not breaking any rules or anything like that. I'm just trying to live my life. I'm just trying to live it up and just, you know, live it to the full. I mean, like, what's wrong with that? Is there a problem? I mean, you guys help me out. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'll start this off. So, in terms of it being a problem, I probably wouldn't call it that term, that it's a problem, maybe more of a dilemma. But the overall issue at its core, before you add in all these other layers that are here, is simply when you want to do something, does it affect someone else? Yes, it is your life. Yes, it is your decisions, but you're a part of a bigger society, a bigger culture, a bigger economy, a bigger world. How does your individual decisions affect other people? Some of them really don't, but some of them really do. And in our, you know, when we talked about community, you know, the first episode we had, we talked about some of those things, but ultimately at its core, it all comes down to you want to do something. Will this affect other people? That's something really people have to think through. And many times, because of certain rights and certain freedoms, people feel like, I don't want to think that deeply about all my actions. I'm just going to live and let live. I'm just going to let it flow. But I think at its core, that's what it is. When someone decides to do something, how does it affect others? We see in the political arena, when you are running for a presidency or any type of office, people see directly what their decisions will do to other people. So they have opinions, they have comments, they cast their votes. The list goes on because they see the direct correlation. But with other things, we don't see it so much. Me growing up in a single parent home, no diss to my parents. I love both my parents, my mother and my father. They came over here from Ghana, West Africa, and they went to school and they had my brother and I. That's perfectly fine. But when they decided to get divorced, I'll say this. I went from middle class to low middle class poverty in terms of income.
Wow. Wow.
No one thinks of the fact that, man, I just want to be free of this relationship, which is fine for you. Okay. Like maybe there's some things going on. Some, who knows, like what's happening. You just want to be free of the marriage. Okay. But like that affected me for a long time. I'm not talking like that just set me economically. That's that like changed things. So I'll just say that as a start. You know, I think at its core, it all comes down to people need to think about the decision you're about to make. How does it affect other people? And really think that through.
Got you. Aaron, what's up with you, man? Like, is it such a problem, you know, to be a law-abiding citizen, you know, in the United States and live in a way where I can basically just live my life? I can do whatever I want to do as long as I stay within the confines of law, order, and government.
Yeah, I would preface my comments to say that living your life in the confines of the law and order and government, it's not a bad thing. However, for us as believers, when there's a conflict between the law, order, and government and the Bible and the scriptures, I think that that's where it can be a problem. And with that, I think it goes back to what do I want to govern my life? Is it going to be this law and government, or is it going to be the scriptures? And I like what Nate was saying, that, you know, the things that we do has a big effect on not just my own individual self, but also on the effect of others. And because of that, and I don't think we look at the long-term effects and the ramifications of everything we're doing. And when we look at our culture and we think about, is it a problem on what we're doing? Sometimes it can, and I think it can be. When I look at some of the things that are going on when it comes to the Wayne Wade, Gabrielle Union thing, or when it even comes to is marriage, not only for the Christian believers, such as when it comes to homosexuality in a lesbian relationship, and even just with even Killer Mike, I think you have to look down to say, oh, am I trying to be my own God? Or am I going to allow God himself, the scriptures, actually lead my life? And I think that's where it can be a problem.
So I love that you guys brought up the idea of consequences. Some consequences we can predict and other consequences we can't really predict. But hearing both of you, I was reminded of how Jesus said that love does no harm to a neighbor. And so love fulfills the law. And also, I'm thinking of accountability, that in this world, there's a limited accountability. So I'm a law-abiding citizen. I'm not breaking the government's rules, so I'm okay. But there's a greater system of justice in the unseen world as well, to which we will be held accountable. So what you're doing that no one ever sees, that no one ever knows about, besides you and God, you'll be held accountable to that too. And so one way that, I mean, that's an area that we tend not to think much about, God holding me accountable for all of my life, all of my actions, all of my thoughts, because in the same way that there's a government that rules this country and every country, there's a greater government, so to speak, that God rules the universe. And so he holds us accountable for his system, for his way of doing things that we do or don't abide by.
Yeah, I agree. One of the biggest things that I see, you know, when people talk about living their life, is that, you know, I think people are okay with living by their own moral code. And what I mean by that is that, you know, like, as long as I'm living in the realm of government, or in the realm, like, basically, as long as I'm okay with staying within the confines of law and order, then I'm okay. But kind of going back to what Brittany and what Nathan was saying is that we're only concerned more so about ourselves, not necessarily about other people. I think it can be a problem, right? No, like, I agree with Aaron that it's not a problem to, you know, live within the confines of law and order, right? Because the Bible calls us to do that. But I think that it becomes a problem when our own moral code can be in conflict with somebody else's. So, for instance, you know, here's an example. If I'm a Christian politician and I hold to the traditional view that marriage is between man and woman, then I will be in direct conflict with a far left person, maybe a liberal, you know, that believes that marriage should be you know, for anybody I love, regardless of, you know, if that person is, you know, in view of a traditional relationship or a same sex relationship. So, you know, as a believer, you know, I'm going to be in stark contrast with the other person. So I'm saying all that because I think the biggest dilemma is like, how do we justify both belief systems? Like who is right? Who is wrong? And I think, you know, like this is kind of where we get into the whole deal of, you know, autonomy, right? Because when we think about autonomy, which is basically means, you know, being governed by oneself. So like when we get into that, I think, how do you determine, you know, what's actually right or wrong? And how do we determine as far as autonomy is concerned, you know, how I should live versus how you should live. I mean, and by the way, like, I mean, how do we even define culture and how do we even define autonomy? How do we even do that?
Yeah, I think once again, in terms of culture, and like I said, this is not the end all be all definition or anything of that nature, but in terms of how culture is defined, I mean, culture is normally a mix of certain beliefs, systems, practices, sometimes religious beliefs are mixed in there, but traditions that are passed on through different generations in which the people group agrees to live by this certain standard.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like, for example, growing up, and sometimes, well, I'll get to this, growing up in a, I'll say African home or Ghanaian home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if you're from West Africa, you may know a little bit of what I'm saying. It to take and receive things with your left hand can be seen as disrespectful, or even more offensive than that. Because
that's good, man.
There's different reasons for that. I won't get into all of them, but one simple practical example is, hey man, your thought like, hey, if I'm living in this village and I have to use the bathroom and I just go outside, you know what I'm saying? I wipe with, maybe I grab a leaf or something, and I wipe with my left hand, but my right hand is the one I take care of, and it's the honorable hand, I'll say. That's an example. So it's like, hey man, you know, don't give me your left hand. Like you use that to do your business. Like, you know, give me your right hand. That's disrespectful.
Yeah.
But that, and there's different reasons for that I won't even get into, but not just that example, no. But when you fast forward to a kid like myself, we don't live in a village.
Right.
We don't, you know, we don't live in that society, like, you know, but it was still expected out of me. That was a cultural class because I'm growing up in America where that doesn't mean anything. And, you know, why am I held to that standard? But that's something that the people agreed upon. But the thing that changes culture is time, because mm-hmm. sometimes you get to a point where you have a new generation and the new generation says, we ain't doing that no more. One thing about American society, some time ago, women were always told to wear dresses. Fast forward to today, women are like, I'm gonna wear what I want to wear. I wear pants. I make more money than you. I'm wearing the pants.
Yeah.
That's fine. So time changes culture, but and this is getting back to a little bit something that Aaron said. You have to ask yourself what you live by, because the interesting thing is, as the culture shifts, certain things become accepted and not accepted as each people group is defining them. But then you still have to ask yourself, how does this relate to the scripture itself? So in terms of culture, it's normally just traditions, beliefs, and nuances agreed upon by, I would even say, each generation.
So Nathan, do you think like the dominant culture of that particular region or that particular, you know, I guess society, do you think the dominant culture really determines what culture is?
I would say yes and no, because you said dominant culture. It sounded like there was an undertone of, you know, I guess you could say how the West influences things globally.
Correct.
But the reason I say kind of is it all goes back to, I believe, I'll say it like this. I don't mean any disrespect, but I'll say it like this. Nowadays, we're a little bit of culture vultures. We're a little bit mm-hmm. of culture poachers. Like we see something in another culture. Oh, I like that. I'm gonna take it. And then like we just adopt it and put it into place. We don't care like where it came from or the origin or or even the etymology with certain words. We don't care. We just say, oh, that's cool. I'm going to take it and grab it. And we just apply it. We just apply it across the board and just try to run with it. Other countries do adopt certain things in the West that we do. But then you have a clash because they're like, we are not doing that, you know. But you have a clash between generations. So I think we more so just kind of poach different things and just take it.
Gotcha, gotcha. Brittany, Aaron, what's up? Like, what do you guys got? Like, what is culture? What is autonomy?
Okay, I think ultimately autonomy is... false. There's no such thing as autonomy. Autonomy is I create the rules. I create the regulations. I decide what I do and don't do. I decide what's okay and what's not okay. And that's not real. Mm-hmm. In the same way that a child's autonomy is determined by the parent, a parent really can allow their kid to do whatever they please. And we all know that that leads to some messed up kids. Okay. And some struggling teachers. And then people in society who have to deal with somebody who think that thinks the world belongs to them. Okay. So autonomy ultimately is not only false, but it's dangerous because autonomy says, I don't need anyone telling me what to do. I should be my ruler. I should be my president, my king. I should be my God, which is also to say I'm the wisest, I'm the smartest, I'm the most creative, I'm the most compassionate, I'm the most loving. We all know that's not true. For that reason, we need the structure of government. We need the help and love and power of God. I mean, whether we have convinced ourselves that we're autonomous or not, we still need God.
Brittany, let me say this. I know. I think I remember hearing Neil deGrasse Tyson, the deGrasse, which one? I forgot what it is. But he's like, you know, like the big, like the black science guy that everybody knows, that, you know, like in commentator. And one of the things that he said
evolution
was,
guy.
Yeah, the evolution dude. Yeah, that dude. And not that I agree with him whatsoever, but I just want to kind of, you know, because one of the things that you said was that when you started talking about children and their autonomy, you know, basically their parents are the ones who basically run or basically are, I guess, maybe able to give them the autonomy, you know, that they need. So, or that they want, so to speak. Now, now, one of the things that Neil Tyson basically said was, I think I saw an interview where he did it one time. He basically said that, you know, I think he saw like, it was raining and he saw like a parent, like he saw like a woman and their daughter. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, the woman did was that, you know, or the daughter wanted to jump in the puddle and he was sitting back saying, please let her jump in the puddle. Please let her jump in the puddle. But instead of the woman allowing her to jump in the puddle, the woman was like, nah, like, you know, you can't do that. And so they went around the puddle, not allowing the child to jump in. And to Neil Tyson's, you know, rebuttal, he basically was like, he really couldn't stand and he hated that she did that because, you know, it basically kills the child's ability to be able to explore what, you know, like, you know, basically giving them the freedom to be able to explore certain things, because that's where imagination, that's where, you know, all these different types of thought processes are birthed out of the creative aspect of things are birthed out of, you know, allowing a child to be free to make decisions for themselves and to be able to, you know, explore certain things. So how do we mitigate, and this is for everybody too, and this is a question I literally just came up with after you said that, but how do we mitigate, you know, being able to allow, you know, people to be able to choose what they believe is good for them, and why is that such a bad thing? You know, and because what we're trying to get to also is being able to determine why autonomy is not necessarily as good as it is cracked up to be. So,
I have with that, Joaquin, do Do individuals really have the ability to even choose, though?
Please elaborate.
and so that's why when I was hearing Brittany, I'm like, do individuals even have the ability to choose because of the fall? So because of the fall, I mean, we know we have, you know, we have the spirit and you definitely have the flesh. And because of the fall, we're born and shaped in iniquity. We've been estranged from the womb. And so because of that, yo, even of Adam and Eve, we see they continually choose evil. Even though they could have ate from any tree of the garden, yo, I'm always going to choose evil. And even us now, we still choose evil. But because we're believers now, and we have the Holy Spirit, now we're able to abide and choose to live by the Bible, to live by the scriptures. So my thing is, are individuals even able to choose? So I understand when Brittany was saying that, yo, I don't even think autonomy is right. I don't even think individuals even have autonomy. And I'm thinking, yeah, because, yo, you're bound. You're bound by your own nature. So my thing is, like, are individuals even able to choose? And I don't think so.
Now, going a little bit deeper, just for our listeners, without getting too deeply in like different types of doctrine, such as the doctrine of election or the doctrine of free will, without going down that whole rabbit hole, one of the things that I want to kind of bring up when Aaron talks about, do we have the ability to choose? I mean. And like I said, and I just want to make sure that we're being clear to like a lot of the people. Now, why is it? Because I want to be able to get into this, because a lot of people are going to say in their minds, like, well, why can't I choose? Are you saying that I can't do? Are you saying, Aaron, that I cannot do good at all? Are you saying that a person does not have the ability themselves to choose what is good? Because when you say to people, hey, you know, I don't have the ability to choose, you know, good. And you're saying that I'm always going to choose evil. Like, are you saying that even a person who, you know, does, you know, like, I don't know, Mother Teresa or your local church pat or your local church person, a person that not even in church who does a lot of charity work around the world. Are you saying that they are unable to do anything that's good? Is that what you're saying? Because I mean, when it comes to autonomy, it's like, although I am able to be self-governed, are you saying that me being able to govern myself, I can't choose a good thing? Are you saying that?
I think you would have to define what is good. And are we talking about good in our own eyes or good when it comes to the scriptures? Because if you're talking about good in our own eyes, like anybody, I mean, Dylann Roof thought he was good when he shot up the church.
That's good, Doc. Yes, sir. Come on, AB. I'm sorry, I get a little excited.
honestly, he did. He thought that was good. But we see by the scriptures, that's definitely not good. And so I think you have to define what is good. So, and because we as believers, we have the scriptures say what is good. I would say those individuals cannot do good because they're not saved by grace through faith apart from works.
Mm-hmm. So that goes back to what Brittany was saying about how, you know, how can someone be, you know, basically self-governed by themselves, even though, you know, we have to be able to have a standard of what good is. No, thank you guys so much. I like that, man. So really quick, we're going to move forward. We kind of got off script just a little bit. but now I want to kind of move a little bit. What are some of the nuances in our culture today that seem or that are autonomous? So I will start. For instance, one of the biggest things about autonomy is that I believe that anything could be autonomy. So we can be literally self-governed by anything that we want. For instance, when we talk about, you know, the traditional, like the views of marriage, I can think that, you know, traditionally marriage is only supposed to be between, you know, man and woman. when I think about, you know, like, or I can be a traditional view and I don't necessarily need God to be married. And also even I can love whoever I want, you know, when it comes to same sex marriage, you know, anybody else, like what are some other views, or nuances in our culture today that people use, as to be self-governed by?
I think ultimately people want to be the author of their fate, the authors of their destiny. So the reality is that we get lots and lots and lots of choices every single day. And as adults, we make lots of choices every day. And not all of those choices are moral choices. But I think ultimately we want to be the authors of our destiny. We want to determine what's to come.
Gotcha. Nathan, you've been kind of quiet, bro. Like, talk to me, man. What do you think, man? What are some of the nuances in our culture today that people use as, you know, for their own autonomy?
Yeah, when you first asked the question, I paused because I was thinking, I don't really believe anything in our culture is truly autonomous, but I feel like we act like it is autonomous, or meaning that we act like things flow a certain way so that we don't necessarily have to address them. So in a sense, we tend to say, oh, this thing is working. I guess I'll put it like this. I had an older car in the past. It was a Mitsubishi Galant. It broke down so much that I knew exactly what it was based on the sound.
I remember that, dude. Dang.
Yeah. So I when something would mess up, I would say, I know what this is. It's a serpentine belt. And we go to the mechanic. I'm like, it's a serpentine belt. And he's like, let me take a look at it. It's a serpentine belt. I just told you that. Because it broke down so much, I already knew. However, the reason I'm bringing that up is I viewed the car as okay as long as certain things weren't broken. Or so I didn't give it any attention or preventative maintenance because I knew, hey, as long as I can roll down the road, I'm okay. And how I would equate that to our current culture is we act like if things aren't loudly yelling at us that are broken, we're not really going to address it. So therefore, we think we are autonomous in certain areas.
We're not.
For example, right now, the education system. We think the education system is okay because, you know, you go to elementary, then you go to middle school, maybe intermediate school, but then you go to middle school. High school, then supposedly you go to college and now you become a functioning working member of society. That's the path. Follow it. We don't need to change it. Obviously, everybody knows a lot of problems in education.
No, come on, man.
The teacher is, you know, the teacher is hype. But nobody wants to address it because we feel like it's autonomous. Oh, we already have the pathway. What is there to address? And we tend to do that with everything. Unfortunately, we apply that logic to everything. As long as it's not causing a quote unquote problem, we're fine. Hey, we're in America. You have religious freedoms. You can believe whatever you want to. Freedom of speech. Do whatever you want. But until someone raises their hand and does something, then it's like, oh man, you know, gotta watch out for the Mormons. Like they're rising up. Because we're viewing it as it's broken. It's like, well, is it broken? Has it always been broken, or you're just giving it your attention now because you feel like the car can't drive down the road anymore?
Wow.
And that's kind of what I would say. When you asked it, I was really thinking about it because I was like, I don't really think anything is autonomous. I just think we kind of don't address in our culture. We kind of just don't address it until like it bothers us.
Yeah.
and now we want to address it. But the problem has always been there.
Mm-hmm. Man, you made me think about something, Nathan. Is tolerance really tolerance today? Because I mean, you know, how we define tolerance, I think, is everything, right? Because, you know, one of the things I was thinking about was, you know, like back in the day, tolerance is basically the ability to agree to disagree, right? But I mean, are we really tolerant about the things that really happen today? So like when we're talking about this whole deal of autonomy, is, are we actually okay with same-sex marriage or, you know, or anything of that matter, what people are basically self-governed by, or does that have to be just as true as what we believe? Because I think, you know, we live in a cult, we've moved into an area now, you know, when it comes to tolerance, where it's really intolerance. So, you know, if I believe, and I keep bringing up homosexuality, not that I have a, you know, I don't have a problem with homosexual people. I'm just bringing that up to, you know, to bring, you know, to give an example. So if it is, if I believe the Bible says that, you know, I'm supposed to make sure that, traditional marriage is the way to go. I'm supposed to be a man and a woman so that we can be able to reproduce God's image throughout the earth. But am I intolerant? Am I intolerant if other people don't believe that? If people who claim to love each other, and, you know, want to enter a same-sex marriage, am I being intolerant if I don't agree that, you know, people of same sex should not be together in any format as far as relationships and marriage is concerned?
Yeah, I think you're speaking to something that is a little larger than even what you're alluding to. But the interesting thing is this. Let's just use the topic that you mentioned about same-sex marriage. Somebody may bring that up, and at least I've observed, people are like, I don't want that forced on me, right? So in other words, they say that to mean if they don't agree with same-sex marriage, they don't want to feel like they have to accept it, right? On the other side of the spectrum, it is, hey, I want to be in a same-sex relationship, same-sex marriage, mm-hmm. and I don't want you to speak against it because I should be able to do what I want to do. Again, taking a step back, some of my friends, I remember I had a friend talk to me and they said, I'm mad at Christina because, you know, we got beef in the past. Christina needs to call me. But then I talked to Christina and I'm like, Christina, what's up? And Christina's like, no, like I'm mad at Tracy. Tracy needs to call me. Mm-hmm. So who is going to call one another? No one, because they both are thinking the same thing in the opposite way. So the only way there is going to be a bridge or conversation or something like that is someone is going to have to be willing to at least put aside their stance just to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I say all that just to say, I believe a lot of times there needs to be an understanding. How did somebody arrive at the opinion and or point that they currently hold and or have today? This comes all the way back to what Aaron said. It's okay to have a conversation to figure out how someone arrived at the point they got to today, but ultimately it might be based on opinion. And if it's based on opinion, once again, what is the standard?
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Aaron is saying the standard is scripture. I mean, I would agree. Somebody may disagree, but the interesting thing about what God says, who's the, you know, creator of everything and put everything in place and in motion, the interesting thing about that is whether I believe it or not, it's still true.
Right, right.
Now,
right.
Someone would disagree with me. You're fine to disagree, but I would hate for you to do the gravity experiment to say, I disagree with gravity. Let me jump off this building. And then mm-hmm. you find out, oh, it's true. I'm like, yeah, but at what cost?
Right. No, that's good, man. You know? That's good. Man. Okay. So, so thank you guys. Anybody else has any type of, any other nuances in the culture today that are autonomous?
Everybody's well, good? One thing that I'd like to mention is to desire to be autonomous, to desire to be apart from, any outside law, or structure or rules or anything, direction is, there are some assumptions about that. And I know I kind of mentioned it already, but some of these assumptions characterize how our culture thinks about people, that people are inherently good. And that opposes the biblical ideology that people are inherently bad. Mm-hmm. And so if mm-hmm. we were inherently good, then we could make good choices. We are not, though. And so if we were inherently good, we could make good choices. We could trust ourselves to do that. But since we are not inherently good, we are inherently evil. Where am I getting that from? Well, in the beginning, God made people and people chose to rebel against God. And from that point on, those people have been contaminated with not what God intended for them, which was all of his goodness, but influence from evil, from darkness, from Satan. And so now our hearts, our minds go against God. We naturally don't want God and what he wants for us. So we cannot trust in ourselves to make good choices. We are not inherently good. And that's, to be honest, a belief system of our day. That we're good. I'm good. I'm a good person. I do A, B, C, D. And fortunately, God is gracious, all the common grace, like that when we have a kid, we take care of the kid. That's the norm. Then hurt or harm the kid. So like there's lots of God's grace around for people to do things that really are good things. It's good for you to not hurt your kid. It's good for you to donate money. But that doesn't mean that your heart is right with God. That doesn't mean that you know God at all or that you're good. And so I think that this idea that like I'm good so I can trust myself is like kind of where the danger comes.
Right, right. No, absolutely. Thank you, Brittany. Totally agree with that. I you made me think about something else though. that I'm going to probably get into later in our next section. So our next section, what we kind of wanted to get into, like, you know, we've talked a lot about the Bible and a lot about what autonomy is, the biblical standard and how the biblical standard is good. So what are some other maybe biblical or historical truths that maybe will mediate throughout the thoughts of our culture today? What are some of the things that'll be able to help our culture, you know, based on what the Bible says of how we should be thinking about this thing?
One thing that helps me at least is I love how Jesus and the Bible, apart from any other belief system, already recognizes that I'm not enough in myself. That gives me so much freedom.
That's good.
To be
That's
the
good,
human
Brittany.
Being that I am. Like for Jesus to say, you know, like to give me the multiple choice, to tell me the answer, and then to make it for me and ask me to trust him. So like Jesus already knows, Brittany, you're not going to get it right. So from the beginning of time, you guys haven't gotten it right. I'm going to come to earth. I'm going to get it right. I'm going to do everything that God has always wanted you to do. And instead of me holding you accountable for all of what you haven't done and all of what you have done, I'm going to take your place and die on the cross. And then you can have all my goodness. I'll take all of your evil, all of your condemnation and judgment. And then you can have eternal life with me because I'm going to overcome the death and the sin, grave and hell. Like, that's what I love about Jesus. He knows who I am. He's come and become all that I am to make me all that he is.
Right, right, right.
I don't have to be good enough. I don't have to trust me. I can trust him.
Amen. Amen. Aaron, what's up, bro? Like, what do you think about that, man? What are some biblical and historical truths that would mediate the thoughts of our culture today, man?
Yeah, for me, it helps to know that God is true, and he's wise. And that was, I would say even lastly, that what's going on in the culture, it's not anything new. Wanting to be autonomous, wanting to self-govern,
And
wanting to do whatever was right in my own eyes, right? We see that definitely in Judges, Judges 21, 25, I think it's also Judges 19, 1. And it's one more place in Judges also. So this is not a new thing, that people wanting to do what was right in their own eyes instead of look at the scripture to say, what does the scripture has to say about this area of my life? If it comes to sexuality, if it comes to sex, if it comes to politics, whatever it is, like God has something to say, but also knowing that God is true. Because if I know that God is true and know that God is wise, then I can submit myself to the scriptures. And I can subject myself to the scriptures to allow the scriptures to govern my life. And we definitely see that in John 14:6, that Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him.
Amen. Nathan, man, what do you got on that?
No, just a comment I was going to make, because really, man, I was thinking, like, what scriptures. I think you all provided, you know, perfect scriptures as well. But the biggest thing that I would say is a lot of the epistles. Now, when I say epistles, I mean the letters written to the early churches after the book of Acts, in which they asked questions and then they received answers. So this is anything that you're reading, like Galatians, Colossians, Ephesians, so on and so forth, Philippians. A lot of times when you're reading any of those letters, it is believers asking questions who live in a culture that is counter to how they've been told how to live. It goes as simple as to say, even in 1 Corinthians, even when you get to 1 Corinthians, and you're there's many places, because I don't want to turn this into a sermon, amen. You know, there's many places you can go to, but one specifically that comes to mind is 1 Corinthians 5. In that passage, you have, you know, the writer saying, "Hey, I've heard there is immorality named among you. So much immorality is not even named amongst the people in that culture."
Yeah.
Where you're trying to sleep with your father's wife, or you're trying to sleep with your stepmom. That seems kind of random. And you're like, well, where did this come from? I don't think anyone would sleep with their stepmom. That had to be written because that's what people in the culture did.
Right.
You know, in Corinth during that time period, is, you know, they had a saying like, hey, you know, hey, the stomach is for food and food is for the stomach. They have a, you know, it was a saying like, hey, man, you win some, you lose some. That's kind of like what we have. But their saying was like, hey, when you're feeling freaky, just like, you know, ain't no big deal. It's just sex. You know, if you're feeling freaky, just, you know, act it out on whoever you want. No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So the writer has to write to them and say, you're not supposed to do that. Now that you are chosen, renewed, regenerated, God sacrificed and died for you so that not only you could be saved, but also so that when you believe in the gospel, you are transformed. And because you are transformed, you've been bought at a price. Therefore, you can't live like everybody else.
Right, right.
So I'm saying all of that. I didn't give one scripture because I know that it's the same pattern that's throughout a lot of the epistles, which is we understand you're living in that culture, but God is calling you to something greater than what the culture is offering.
Amen. Amen. I know that for some people and some of our listeners who's listening, somebody might be asking the question, you know, man, someone might be asking the question, like, why do I have to be able to follow the Bible, or why is the Bible the thing that's true? So, like, I just kind of want to give just some quick things to understand about our God, right? Number one, in John 17:25, Jesus is praying to the Father right before he goes to the cross. And one of the things that he says is that he's praying for, you know, the people, and he's basically saying that, for you love me, you know, before the world even ever began. And we see in John 1:1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1 that Jesus is the Word of truth that came and dwelt among us in flesh. And we see basically in the beginning, when God created out of his love for his Son, because he loved them before the world even began. And when he created human beings, that love spilled over into humanity. And when he created humanity, he basically had given them the choice to be able to choose, you know, what was good. Now, this was before sin had entered into the world. Before sin entered into the world, you know, God gave them the ability to choose. For instance, he says, hey, you know, from any tree you may eat from, right? Because, I mean, God gives us the ability to be able to choose our own choices and our own deals and our own thoughts and whatever we think of. But the problem is that man did not choose God. Man chose, you know, to disobey God. And so because of that, you know, although that we are all created in his image, you know, we still chose death over choosing life, because even in the garden, Adam and Eve had the ability to be able to choose the tree of life and dwell with God forever. But yet they chose the one that he told him not to choose from. And so later on, you know, we're definitely in desperate need of a savior. So Jesus comes down, saves our souls, you know, from eternal separation from him. And now that we have that, we have to understand that because of what he has done, we are able to be able to believe, you know, what the truth is. Aaron actually also mentioned, for instance, Jesus said in John 14:6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we also have to understand, when we're talking about this thing of autonomy, that God's word is true. He has a precept that is true. And there's always a comparison to Jesus and his word, because he's the exact representation of what the word of God is. Even in John 5:39, when he's arguing with the Pharisees, or talking with the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are like, definitely kind of arguing him down. And they're like, hey, Jesus is like, you search the scriptures. And all of the scriptures or whatnot, they testify about me. So whatever the scriptures were during that particular time is basically testifying about who Jesus Christ is. And so basically, man, what I'm trying to get at, now that we know that Jesus is the truth, we must also follow Jesus and his word, which is the Bible. And anytime we are doing what we want rather than what the Bible says, then we are in sin. Basically, in other words, when we choose to live by our own moral standard or our own autonomy, and we basically want to live that life rather than the Bible. And we have to understand we are off at that point when we live by what we want to do versus what the Bible says. Even Aaron brought up that, you know, Judges 21:25, and the people did what was right in their own eyes. And we have to be able to be so-called, I guess, counterculture, basically, in living for Jesus by obeying his word and living by his precept. So just wanted to put that out there. And also, hey, guys, like, I know we're getting close to our end time here. But what are some action steps that we can take in regards to this topic? What are your thoughts on that? Any resources at all?
One resource that I would like to recommend is The Reason for God by Tim Keller, because The Reason for God is especially for people who are struggling with this idea of, why can't I make my own choices? Or are things really the way that these people are saying that they are? What I love about it most is that it takes the beliefs of our culture and it actually talks about it as beliefs, not as here's what Christians believe and we don't think that's right. No, people who disagree tend to have their own systematic thought process of whatever idea they're opposing. And so I love it because it's saying, okay, you don't believe in Jesus. I hear you. You do believe in something though. You are trusting in something else. You are trusting in your own idea of how this thing works. And he puts it in a very like clear way, lays them out side by side, yeah. Kind of helps people to see it clearly.
That's a good resource, Brittany. Thank you. I've never bought that book, but I always wanted to. thank you for that. Aaron, Nathan, any other resources or any other thoughts or action steps that we need to take to help our culture and the next generation?
Yeah, I'll go. So the thing I would say is, again, first start asking yourself the question, why do you believe what you believe? How did you come to that conclusion? The reason I'm saying that is I still do that today. I still ask myself the question of, why do I even go to church? Why do I wake up on Sunday and go to church? I ask myself that question multiple times in a given year, because I want to make sure I'm not doing something just out of habit and or, I guess, dare I say, obligation. But there's an actual reason for it that allows my motives to be from the right perspective. So yeah, just, you know, ask yourself, why do you believe what you believe, and follow that line of questioning. Hopefully the solid answer would be something that God has shown you in your life rather than your opinion. But besides that point, actual resource that you can check out and look at, I would say, is a book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist by Norman Geiser. That is a good book because, again, even when you say, I don't believe this, or I don't believe the Bible applies to fill in the blank, you're saying you believe something. So even by saying you have unbelief in a certain area, you're saying you believe something else. So in a sense, you're creating your own faith, whether you believe it or not.
Yeah.
But again, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist by Norman Geiser.
That's good. I actually bought that book and gave it to an agnostic person that I worked with a while back ago. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, dope.
I'm not sure that person read it, but I heard it was good. I bought it to read it myself, but then the Lord led me to lead it, give it to that person. So,
yeah. Aaron. And just to, I guess, for me, lastly, I know one good resource is Gay Girl, Good God by Jackie Hill Perry. Definitely talking about her, she was a, you know, in a homosexual relationship and was homosexual for a lot of years. And just sharing a little bit of her story and then where she is now in life. So I would definitely encourage people to read that book if that's something that would help or benefit you or someone else. And also just be in community with others. I know something that Nate was saying. He said,
that's good, bro.
What you're saying. And honestly, a lot of people have those same questions, but also to be in a community. So the community of believers that's around you can, you know, turn you back to the scriptures, even when like you may not know why you believe or why you do something. So I know we've definitely been talking about community and we've probably said community a lot of times, but that is necessary in our culture and it is necessary for us as people and for us as believers.
No, that's good, man. Appreciate you, man. A couple of resources that I have. Counterculture by David Platt is basically about following Christ in an anti-Christian age. You know, he goes into different things about abortion, about, you know, the gospel and, you know, the gospel and, you know, with it, when it comes to women, when it comes to sex slavery, when it comes to orphans, widows, sexual morality, ethnicity, a whole bunch of different things that he talks about in that book. Currently right now, I'm not sure. I know I said this before, but I'm in seminary at Moody Theological Seminary, out of Chicago. And I'm taking a professional ethics course. And I think a really good book to read is Moral Choices by Scott B. Ray. I mean, it literally talks a lot about the different types of things that we're dealing with now. Like, you know, it talks about, you know, what happens at the beginning of life, what happens at the end of life, sexual ethics, war, capital punishment, tons of different types of things that may be able to help, you know, manage, you know, why the Bible is so necessary in a world, in a culture today. Another thing too is The Intolerance of Tolerance by D.A. Carson. This is probably one of the biggest books that has made me really understand that autonomy is really something that we shouldn't be putting our hope and trust in. We shouldn't be putting our hope and trust in ourselves, but we should definitely be putting our hope and trust in God's word, because The Intolerance of Tolerance by D.A. Carson has brought so many different things to light of, you know, of how this culture, you know, thinks and what we think is right and what we think is true. And so, yeah, that's what I got right now. And I agree with Aaron, you know, getting with people and talking to people that aren't just, you know, think what you think, like talk to somebody who is a solid believer and who can explain to you some of the things that you're wrestling with. One of the biggest things I love and kind of go back to something Brittany said earlier is, man, make sure that we do our research. I know we have a as far as do our research about what is true. I know we did an episode a long time ago, I think, when we first got this thing off the ground about, you know, I think it's called We Have Receipts, I think. And man, just being able to put in the due diligence of making sure that you understand, especially when it comes to the relationship between different religions, because one of the things about, like kind of going back to what Brittany was saying, one of the things about that I also appreciate about, you know, Christianity is God literally coming down to us, a totally depraved world, but yet and still, you know, all the other religions are basically trying to build their way up to God, but God comes down to us. I mean, I think that's the total biggest difference between, you know, when it comes to like other types of religions and stuff like that. I mean, I just couldn't be more thankful for God for just, you know, thinking about me before the beginning of time and knowing that man was going to choose death over life, but yet he still chose me regardless. So, man, so I feel good about that. So that's what I got. Does anybody have anything else? I mean, that's all we got today, man. So anybody got any closing remarks or anything?
No, thank you for listening. We ask you to please subscribe to the True Serum Podcast, share, tell your friends, and
thank you for listening. Ball-headed daddy, right?
What? Ball-headed granny.
And leave your comments in the comment section. We want to hear what you have to say.
Cool, yeah.
And if you want us to go into one of these topics, I know we talked about a lot of things, sexuality, politics, faith. We talked about free will a little bit even today. Like, do you even have it? If you want us to go deeper in those topics, please just let us know so we can go into those.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well,
y'all stay encouraged.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Yeah. Live by the Bible. Don't live by, you know, your own thoughts.
Amen. All right, I'm going to drop that beat on y'all.
Holla. Yeah. It's your boy.